भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
हरे कृष्ण, वेलकम टू अवर कन्वर्सेशन दैट हैपेंड बिटवीन विदुरा एंड उद्धवा। विदुरा वेंट ऑन पिलग्रिमेज एंड ही मेट उद्धवा ऑन द बैंक ऑफ यमुना and he inquired about the welfare of so many relatives including the Yadus and even Krishna and Balaram. Then Uddhava went into an overwhelming ecstatic remembrance of Krishna, and he narrated all the pastimes of Krishna right from his appearance till his disappearance. And finally Uddhava directed Vidura to go to Maitreya for further enlightenment. In the beginning of the 10th chapter of 3rd canto, Vidura asks Maitreya, Brahmaji appeared on the lotus which sprouted from the navel of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu, and he also offered his heartfelt prayers to the Lord, and what did he do after that? So Lord also reciprocated and responded to Brahmaji's prayers, saying that, my dear Brahma, Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. So Brahmaji meditates on the Lord for 100 more celestial years, and later he sees that lotus and this whole water of devastation, this Garbhodaka waters, and he was seeing that this whole lotus is trembling. So there is wind everywhere, there is water everywhere. So Brahmaji drank that wind and water, and he contemplated on how to create all the planets. There are 14 planetary systems in the universe, and Brahmaji has to now create them. And so Brahmaji entered this lotus stem, and he first divided that lotus stem into 3 parts and later into 14 parts. So like 3 sections of planetary systems: upper planets, lower planets and middle planets. And actually if you just count the number of planetary systems, there are 14 in number. So he divided this lotus into 14 divisions. So they are the 14 planetary systems. There is Bhumandala in the middle. Above this Bhuloka, there is Bhuvarloka, Suvarloka, Maharloka, Satyaloka, Janaloka, Tapoloka, like that. There are 7 upper planetary systems. And below this Bhumandala, there are 7 lower planetary systems. They are Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Talatala, Rasatala, Bhutala, Patala. So these are Mahatala and Patala. These are lower planetary systems. And apart from that, there are hellish planets also. So Brahmaji has divided this lotus stem into these 14 divisions and manifested the 14 planetary systems. How did he get that power to create these planets? By the power of his bhakti. So only by the process of bhakti that he has performed, and only by the empowerment given to him by the Lord, by Lord Vishnu, he could create all these planetary systems. Brahmaji has been empowered and invested with the necessary creative abilities to manifest these planets and planetary systems in this universe. And at this stage, Vidura asks Brahma, Vidura asks Maitreya Muni, my dear Maitreya Muni, can you please tell me about the characteristics of time? So now that Brahmaji has created all these planetary systems, and later I also want to know about the Lord's Kala Shakti or the time factor, because all the transformations in this material existence, right from the manifestation of the ingredients of the material universe, from the formation of this material universe, and when inside the universe, the manifestation of all these planetary systems, everything is happening by the influence of time factor. And time only instigates the 3 modes of material nature. I want to know little more details about this time factor. So Vidura gives a very brief outline, brief understanding of time factor in this chapter, in just 3 shlokas. And in the next chapter, the 11th chapter, he dedicates the entire chapter to describe this time factor. So initially, Vidura hears this description from Maitreya about characteristics of time. The time is the cause of all the interactions of material modes. The time is without beginning or end. It is there continuously in all phases, past, present and future. And it is the cause of creation, efficient cause of creation. And time is a representative of Lord's power to cause destruction in this universe. means this kalosmi loka kshetkrit pravruddho, in the form of time, the Lord destroys everything within this universe. For example, you keep a fruit here, and after 2 days you come and see that fruit, the fruit is deteriorated, it is destroyed, it is decomposed. Why? Because of the influence of time factor. So as time progresses, our body will grow, and later the body will dwindle, it will become old, and it will die also. All this is because of time factor. So time is the cause of creation, time is the cause of destruction also. So like the time, by the influence of time factor only, all the universes are divided into 14 planetary systems. And also, time is cyclical in nature. Now, in this year, at this time, we have, say, summer season. In the next year, again, during this time only, we have summer season again. So, summer, winter, then rainy season, like that, all the seasons will come again and again. So, now, it is the evening time, then it will become night time, then morning time, then during the day time. So, like that, this day and night, they will keep on repeating. Their time is cyclic in nature. So, these are certain characteristics of time. So, after that, Maitreya Muni describes 10 divisions of creation. So, we have discussed before also, the creation done by the Supreme Lord is primary creation, which is called Sarga. And the creation done by Lord Brahma and his descendants, the Manus and other Prajapatis, that is called Visarga, or secondary creation. So, in the primary creation, the universe is created. And in the secondary creation, the details inside the universe is created. So, primary creation is done by Lord Vishnu directly. So, the manifestation of Pradhana, then Mahatattva, then Ahankara, then the 23 elements, and the 23 elements combining with each other to form the universe. So, all this is done by Lord Vishnu. And once the universe is created, Brahmaji takes birth, then he will manifest certain details within the universe. That is called secondary creation. So, there are 6 types of primary creation or Sarga. So, they are, number 1, the creation of Mahatattva. Mahatattva is the sum total of all material ingredients. From the Mahatattva only, Ahankara manifests, and from Ahankara, all these elements like earth, water, fire, air, ether, then the 5 tanmatras, 5 knowledge senses, and 5 working senses, intelligence, mind, everything will manifest from Mahatattva. So, Mahatattva is the sum total of all material ingredients. That is the first creation. Then second creation is the creation of Ahankara. This Ahankara basically manifests from Mahatattva. So, in Mahatattva, modes start becoming prominent. And when the mode of ignorance becomes prominent, that Mahatattva transforms into Ahankara. That is the second type of primary creation. Then third is the creation of tanmatras, means sense objects. Smell, taste, form, etc. So, these are the sense objects. They are called tanmatras. That is the third type of creation. Fourth type of creation, you can see in the chart. Fourth type of creation is creation of senses. There are 5 knowledge senses and there are 5 working senses. So, knowledge senses are eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin. And working senses are also their hands, legs, etc. So, these are all different senses. That is the fourth type of creation. Fifth type of primary creation is the devas or the demigods and the mind. Mind and the demigods. They are controlling deities of different aspects of this universe. They are the demigods. This is the fifth type of primary creation. And the sixth type of primary creation is basically the avidya shakti. So everything in this universe is being manifested because of avidya shakti, the external potency of the Lord. So these are the 6 types of primary creation called Sarga. And secondary creation is of 3 types. So now these 6 types of primary creation are basically to manifest the entire universe. And secondary creation is basically creation done inside the universe. The creation of various living entities that is done by Brahma. So the secondary creation is of 3 types. Number 1, creation of lower species. You can see that picture. There are cows and sheep and horses and pig and some duck there. So this is the creation of lower species, non-human species. They have horizontal nourishment. If you see that cow there, cow or horse, they eat from their mouth and they stand on four legs. So the nourishment goes like this. It is horizontal nourishment. Right? They take food from the mouth, and because they are standing on four legs, the entire body is like this, stomach and belly is like this. So it is horizontal nourishment. And second type of creation, secondary creation, is vertical nourishment. And the vertical nourishment has two divisions: upward nourishment and downward nourishment. You can see the next slide where there is a tree standing there. So trees have upward nourishment. They drink water through their feet, through their roots, and the food or the water that goes to the tree's root will go upward and then nourish the entire tree, and all the leaves and flowers and twigs and fruits will manifest and they are nourished. This is called upward nourishment. And you see another slide, there are human beings there. So they also have vertical nourishment, but it is not upward nourishment, it is downward nourishment. So when a person is standing there, the mouth is on top. So one will eat like this and the nourishment will go down. So this is called downward nourishment. So these are the three major categories of living entities that Brahmaji has created in his creation, in his secondary creation. So the lower species, they have horizontal nourishment, and the trees, they have upward nourishment, and human beings, they have downward nourishment. So these are the three categories. And there is a fourth type of secondary creation. So they are the creation of the demigods. So demigods are of different categories. So there are Vibhudhas, Pitris, Asuras, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Yakshas, Rakshasas, Siddhas, Charanas, Vidyadharas, Bhuta, Preta, Pishacha, Kinnara, Kimpurusha, and so many other kinds of divisions of devatas are there. So this is also creation of, this is also secondary creation done by the Lord Brahma. So that completes the 10th chapter of third canto. Now we will enter the 11th chapter, where Maitreya Muni describes the calculations of time, so from the atom. So if you see that slide, the first sloka of this chapter says, what is Paramanu? Paramanu means the ultimate particle, very smallest particle, which cannot be divided. So the smallest ingredient, which is indivisible, that is called Paramanu. And Paramamahan means the totality of all Paramanus, means the biggest particle, means the combination of all the smallest atoms is called Paramamahan. So just as matter has divisions, now there is small particle of matter and there is big particle of matter. Now there is a small particle of atom, which is Paramanu. You combine few Paramanus like that and then you find you have one object which is formed. This mic is a combination of so many small particles like that. Entire universe is combination of all particles. So that is called Paramamahan. So just as matter has divisions, similarly time also has small and big divisions. So there is Paramanutam, means the time that is covered by the sun in passing over an atom is called Paramanutam, means the smallest fraction of time. So sun is moving and there is this Paramanu. So basically there is a globe there, and sun is moving like this. So sun will take some time to pass over this one globe, one planet or whatever. So that takes a specific amount of time. Now you, in this place of this globe, you put this Paramanu, the shortest possible particle, the smallest possible particle. The time that the sun takes to pass over this small particle is called Paramanutam. That is the time. That is the smallest fraction of time. And Paramamahan time means the time expanded from the beginning of the creation till the destruction of the creation. So, which is like commonly considered as 100 years of Brahmaji's lifetime. So, the beginning of creation, the beginning of the manifestation of all the material elements, material universe, till the destruction of the universe is called the full totality of time, time factor. So, now this time can be divided into seconds, then minutes, then hours, and days and nights and months, weeks, months, years, like that, all these calculations we know. So, Maitreya Muni expands all that. He explains all these divisions of time. So now you put 60 seconds together, it becomes 1 minute. And you put 60 minutes together, it becomes 1 hour. So this is like common way in which we calculate this time. And there are different types of years also. And after that, this Maitreya Muni describes the lifespan of people who are living in higher planets. Now, time is relative. The perception of time that we have in this earthly planet is different from the perception of people in the higher planets. For example, now one Chaturyuga. Chaturyuga means the combination of four yugas. Satya Yuga, Trita Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. These four yugas put together is called one Chaturyuga or one Divya Yuga. So these four Chaturyugas, thousand Chaturyugas like that, one Chaturyuga is basically 12,000 years of demigods. And this thousand Chaturyugas constitute 1 day of Brahma. And like that, Brahmaji will live for 100 years. So, one Chaturyuga is 12,000 years of demigods. And the Yugas also have different durations. 4,32,000 years is the duration of Kali Yuga. And double of that is Dwapar Yuga. And then double of that is Trita Yuga. And then Satya Yuga. So, all these four Yugas put together is one Chaturyuga. Like that, 1,000 Chaturyugas, 1,000 Divya Yugas form 1 day of Brahma. And so many lakhs of years of human years is one Chaturyuga. But for demigods, it is just 12,000 years. And for Brahmaji, 1,000 Chaturyugas put together is like 1 day only. So as we go higher and higher in the to the above planetary systems, upper planetary systems, the calculations of time will change there. And above Swarga, there are Mahar Loka, Jana Loka, Tapa Loka, Satya Loka. Their duration of 1 day is 1,000 Chaturyugas, which we have already discussed. And so like that, after these 1,000 Chaturyugas, which is 1 day of Brahma, the universe is withdrawn. Means the universe is destroyed. Means the planetary systems within the universe, not the entire universe. Entire universe get destroyed at the end of lifetime of Brahma, but the planetary systems within one universe are destroyed at the end of the day of Brahma. Just like you go to the office in the morning, you open your drawer, you open your cupboard, you take out all your books and files, and you switch on your computer, you switch on the fan, switch on the light, then start working. And at the end of the day, you wind up everything. You switch off your laptop and you close your cupboards, you lock them and you close your files and keep them back in their respective places. So like that, at the end of the day, you close everything. Similarly, at the beginning of the day of Brahma, Brahmaji creates these planetary systems. At the end of the day of Brahma, all the planetary systems are withdrawn and Brahmaji goes to sleep and all the planetary systems are withdrawn within the body of Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu. And in the next day of Brahma, again Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu glances on these living entities, and all the living entities and the planetary systems will again manifest. So now within this 1 day of Brahma, there are 1,000 Divya Yugas and there are 14 Manus. Manus means the people who administer this universe. So within 1 day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. Means over a span of 1,000 Chaturyugas, 14 Manvantras will rule. Means each Manu will rule for about 71 to 72 Divya Yugas. And after ruling for 71 Divya Yugas, the next Manu will come and rule. Like that, within 1 day of Brahma, there are 14 Manus. And in this current day of Brahma, already 6 Manvantras have passed. We are in the 7th Manvantara. And in the future also, there are 7 Manvantras. So, and daily Brahmaji creates these three worlds. And there are so many other details in this short class. This is Pravaha class. Pravaha means we are just discussing the flow of Bhagavatam, not going into so many minute details. So, there are so many details also to discuss. So, after this, and Brahmaji's life is divided into two parts. Basically, he lives for 100 years and it's divided into two parts and each part is called Parartha. So his lifetime is dviparartha, two parartha's. One parartha is 50 years, second parartha is 50 years. Basically 100 years is divided into two parts. So Brahmaji, the first day of the first parartha of Brahma is called Brahma Kalpa. Each day is called Kalpa. Each Kalpa is 1000 Divyugas, which I have already seen. And the first day of the first half of Brahmaji's life is called Brahma Kalpa. And the Kalpa in which Brahmaji takes birth in a lotus from Garbhodaksha Vishnu's navel, it is called Padma Kalpa. And the first day of the second half of Brahmaji's lifetime is called Varaha Kalpa. So in that Kalpa, Varahadev appears. So they are like that. There are names to the days of Brahma also. And this Dviparardha time means this 100 years of Brahma is equivalent to one Nimesha of the Supreme Lord Mahavishnu. Because this entire universe is coming out of the bodily pores of Mahavishnu when Mahavishnu breathes out. Mahavishnu breathes out, the universes would come out. And when Mahavishnu breathes in, the universes will go inside. Means within one breathing period of Mahavishnu, Brahmaji's 100 years of lifetime is there. Within one breathing period of Mahavishnu. Within one lifetime of Brahma, there are 100 years. And within one day of Brahma, there are 1000 Divya Yugas. And we are living for just say maximum some 100 years within one Yuga called this Kali Yuga now. We can only imagine how insignificant we are in comparison to Brahma and how insignificant Brahma is in comparison to Mahavishnu, and that Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Where is Krishna and where are we? During, after Brahma Vimohana Leela, Brahmaji offers prayers to Krishna saying that, my dear Lord Krishna, you are the source of Narayana. And from the bodily pores of Narayana, millions of universes manifest. How do they manifest? When you see a window screen, and during the daylight of the, during the daytime, the sunshine will pass through this window screen, right? When the sunshine is coming inside your room through the window, you can see very small, small particles of atoms, small particles. So you cannot count them. So in that way, those many number of universes will come out of Mahavishnu's body. There is no count. Innumerable universes are coming out of Mahavishnu's body, and that Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Mahavishnu? And within one breathing period of Mahavishnu, Brahmaji has one full 100 years of lifetime. And where is Brahma? Where is Mahavishnu? And within one day of Brahma, you have 1000 Divya Yugas. And where are we and where is Brahma? So we are so insignificant in comparison to the Supreme Lord Krishna. But Krishna is kind enough to expand himself as super soul, and he agrees to stay right within our hearts. That is the glory of Krishna. So in this way, we see the divisions of time and divisions of creation. We completed 10th and 11th chapters. We enter the 12th chapter now. In the 12th chapter, Maitreya Muni describes how Brahmaji has created this universe, created all the elements within this universe. First, Brahmaji creates five features of ignorance. You can see that shloka. Sasarjangrendhata mishram athata mishram adikrit mahamoham cha moham cha tamas cha jnana vrittayaham. Sasarjangre andhatamishram. So in the beginning of creation, Brahmaji has created five factors of ignorance. They are, I'll speak it from the bottom. Tamas means ignorance. Then next is moham. Then mahamoham. Then tamishram and andhatamishram. These are the five things. Tamas means ignorance of one's own identity. We are basically souls, spirit souls. And we think that we are these bodies. We have forgotten, we are ignorant. We means the conditioned souls in this world are ignorant of their original identity as spirit souls and fragmental parts of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Krishna says, Mamai Vamso Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatanaha, and the conditioned souls have forgotten that identity. So that forgetfulness of that identity is called Tamaha. first feature of ignorance. Second feature of ignorance is moha. Because one forgets one's identity as spirit soul, one assumes another identity as this material body with so many designations. I am a man, I am a woman, I am an Indian, I am an American, I am a student, or I am an employee, I am a teacher, or I am a businessman. So like that, there are so many designations. Or I am a Brahmana, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Brahmachari, I am a Grahastha. These are all various identities which are external, which are true only within one lifetime, which is so temporary. So first thing is tamas, which is forgetfulness of one's original identity. Second thing is moham, which is assuming a new identity. Having a misidentification with body. This is called bodily conception. Then third is mahamoham. Now that you have a misidentification with the body, you have bodily conception. Mahamoham is you start considering all the bodily possessions and bodily relations to be your own. So that possessiveness is called mahamoham. This is misidentity. This is possessiveness, mahamoham. So we discussed tamas, moham and mahamoham. Fourth factor of ignorance is tamishram. Tamishram is anger upon frustration. Now you have this I and mine conception. I conception is, aham conception is moham. Mameti, possessiveness is this mahamoham. And whenever your possessiveness is challenged, when somebody comes and says, this is not yours, this is mine. So now, in that false identity as being a owner of a house, you think that this house is yours. And everything within this house is yours. And somebody comes and challenges, this is not yours, this is mine. So when the possessiveness is challenged, there is anger. One is frustrated and one gets anger. That anger upon frustration is called tamishram, the fourth feature of ignorance. And the fifth feature of ignorance is andhatamishram. That is a sense of death. Now, we get frustrated and we become angry when our sense of possessiveness is challenged by someone. But that is anger upon frustration when our belongings and what we think our own, when somebody comes and says that this is not your own, then there is some kind of frustration and anger, that is tamishram. But ultimately, there is one point where we have to give up this body only. We have to die. So this body, we think this body to be our primary possession. And this chair or this bungalow, this car, this house, all these are bodily possessions. But the first possession that the living entity thinks as his own is the body. So andhatamishram is sense of death, where you have to realize or you have to face the fact that even this body is also not yours. You have to leave this body, which you have maintained, which I have been maintaining since 100 years with so much of care and attention. So that death, the sense of death is called andhatamishram. So these are the five features of ignorance that Brahmaji has created in the beginning of the creation. First is tamas, means ignorance of one's identity, real identity. Second is moham, which is assuming a false identity of being body. Third is possessiveness, means bodily possessiveness. Means to think that all the belongings of this body are one's own. Then fourth is tamishram, which is anger upon frustration. And fifth is andhatamishram, which is sense of death. So Brahmaji has created these five features of ignorance. These are like the softwares or apps installed, or operating system installed on your system, on your phone or on your laptop. So without this operating system, the entire laptop cannot function. So why Brahmaji has to create these five features of ignorance? Because the entire material universe is created to house those conditioned souls who wanted to imitate the Lord. The Supreme Lord Krishna is the supreme controller, master, proprietor, enjoyer, owner of everything. He is Bhoktaram, Yignatapasam, Sarvaloka, Maheshwaram. But the conditioned soul wants to imitate the position of the Lord, and he wants to become independent controller, master, proprietor, and enjoyer. So this material world is meant to house such conditioned souls who are averse to a sense of subordination to Krishna, who are averse to bhakti yoga, who do not want to be lovers of God or servants of God, who want to be separate. So for them to enjoy imitating the Lord, they have to first forget their original identities as servants of God. So these five features of ignorance will overwhelm the conditioned soul with ignorance, with a new false identity imposed upon themselves, and in that illusory conception they start operating as independent controllers, and then they check out for themselves whether they can enjoy independently of the Lord. But the Lord will just not leave these people in this ignorance. He will also descend as incarnations. He will also send acharyas. He will also make the scriptures available for the enlightenment of the conditioned soul who is in ignorance, to bring him out of ignorance. Because the conditioned soul is bent upon enjoying separately from Lord, the Lord is obliged to create this material world and give him an opportunity to work separately from the Lord, independently from the Lord. But being a kind and affectionate father of all living entities, the Lord also tries to reclaim these conditioned souls and try to pull them out of ignorance. Just like a small child does not want to eat the food cooked by the mother, so what does mother do? Mother will give the child some toys. Okay, the child wants to cook on his own. He does not want to eat the food cooked by mother. So mother gives some toys to the child so that you can play. You can imitate my movements. Then the child is playing. So while the child is playing, imagining himself to be the cook, then mother will come and then call the child, please come back. Or just like Krishna comes in incarnations to call the living entity back to Godhead. Or mother will send some servant maid, come back. Just like Krishna sends acharyas, mother will give good instructions. You will not satisfy your hunger by playing. You will satisfy your hunger only by eating the food I have given you. So like that, Krishna makes scriptures also available. We can elaborately describe this point, but basically these five features of ignorance are created by Brahma just in reciprocation with the conditioned soul's desire to enjoy independent of the Supreme Lord. But these five features of ignorance only cause illusion to the conditioned soul, and Brahmaji felt bad. So Brahmaji felt dissatisfied. After creating these five functions of ignorance, Brahmaji was displeased and dissatisfied. Drishtva papiyasim srishtim. Seeing that his creation is sinful, Brahmaji was dissatisfied. This is the first obstacle in Brahmaji's creation. So he created five features of ignorance. Now Brahmaji immediately wanted to create something which is based on knowledge, vidya. From avidya potency he manifested five features. From vidya potency he manifested four kumaras. So he creates four kumaras. These are the first created beings in Brahmaji's creation. The four kumaras, Sanat Kumara, Sanaka Sanandana, all these four kumaras are there. So they manifest from Brahmaji, and Brahmaji instructs them. Now Brahmaji is basically, Brahmaji's project now is to populate the universe with various living entities in different species. So Brahmaji created these four kumaras by four features of vidya or knowledge, and he told them, you start procreating and then populating this universe. Then the four kumaras said, we want to remain brahmacharis. We will not enter household life. We will not marry. We want to be brahmacharis and we want to remain as small kids only so that Maya will not overwhelm us, so we cannot do this creation. Then Brahmaji felt little bad. He became slightly angry also, because he was, these four kumaras, they were disobedient to Brahma. Of course, for a good reason, for a right reason. Because they wanted to become Vasudeva Parayana. They wanted to completely dedicate themselves to Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord Krishna. So they didn't want to enter this household life and get into procreation. So they expressed some kind of so-called disrespect or disobedience towards Brahma. So Brahmaji was slightly agitated. But Brahma, being a mature father, he did not disown these four sons, four kumaras. He continued his relationship with the four sons, but he was slightly disappointed. So he was slightly angry. from that anger, from in the middle of his eyebrows, Shiva manifested. And Brahmaji asked Shiva, "Oh Shiva, you should start procreating." First, as soon as Shiva manifested, he started crying. So then Rudra started crying, saying that, "What is my name?" Then Brahmaji gives 11 names to Shiva. And he also designates 11 places for Rudra to stay. He cried, that's why he is called Rudra. Crying is called Rudantam. One who cries, there are tears in his eyes, one who cries, he is doing Rodana. So he is called Rudra. Because he cried very anxiously, his name is Rudra. And there are 11 names for Rudra, 11 forms of Rudra, and 11 Rudranis, and 11 places for Rudra to stay. So Brahmaji has designated all these wives and all these places for Rudra to stay. And he said, "Oh Rudra, please increase the population of the universe. Please expand the population in the universe." Then Rudra, means Lord Shiva, started creating. So Shiva is very expert in destruction. But he is asked to do creation. So Shiva created the type of living entities who are having destructive mentality. So they were also very ferocious in nature. So these people, Bhagavatam. So these the people created by Shiva, they started destroying everything in the universe, whatever is existing at that time. Then Brahmaji became very afraid. "Shiva, you don't have to create this kind of beings. So better you go and do tapasya and take all your associates and descendants also along with you. You all go into the forest and do tapasya. I don't want this kind of creation." So there is a disturbance that is created in Brahmaji's creation because of Shiva's children, Shiva's associates. So Brahmaji told Shiva to go and do tapasya. Then Brahmaji started creating 10 more sons. He created 10 sages like Kashyapa and many other people, Marichi. So he created 10 sages and asked them to create the universe, create more population in the universe. Then Brahmaji started creating dharma, adharma, and all the other qualities like lust, anger, greed, speech, then oceans and adharmic activities. And he also created another son, 11th son, called Kardama Muni. And Brahmaji, at this stage, he has one daughter named Vak. So Brahmaji, at one point, he became slightly overwhelmed with lust and he started running behind Vak, although she was not inclined towards Brahma. And Maitreya Muni was quite hesitant to say this, because he is the supreme creator within this universe and he was running behind his own daughter with a mood to enjoy, but it is not appropriate on the part of Brahma. Then all the sons of Brahma, headed by Marichi, they requested Brahma, "Brahma, please, you should not be doing like this. This is not appropriate for your position." And Brahmaji still continued with his determination. And then Marichi and all the other sages offered prayers to the Supreme Lord Vishnu to protect Brahmaji from this behavior. And then Brahmaji restrained from this behavior. So basically this pastime is not meant for us to minimize the position of Brahma or disrespect Brahma, but it is only giving a very important caution note to all of us that attraction towards opposite gender is very deep-rooted in this material world. One should very prayerfully protect oneself from allurements of opposite gender. One should not unrestrictedly and unduly get involved in illicit sensual affairs. So one has to be very cautious in restricting one's senses. So this is the message given through this incident. But this incident is not meant for us to disrespect Brahma. Because when great souls occasionally and circumstantially accidentally commit some apparent mistakes, they will restrain from that behavior and they will continue on the right path. But those who criticize them and blaspheme them and offend them, they will be affected. Just like Marichi and other sons of Brahma, they respectfully told Brahma to restrain from this behavior and later they prayed to the Lord. When they offered prayer to the Lord, Brahmaji's quote unquote lust was controlled. But Marichi's sons, they laughed at Brahma. So they had to undergo the reaction of becoming Devaki's sons, and then they were killed by Kamsa, and then they had to undergo some reaction for this offense towards great souls. So Tejiya Samna Doshaya. So although Brahmaji ran behind Vak, his ability to create and perform this wonderful service to the Lord did not diminish. Because after this whole incident, Brahmaji was distracted by Vak, but later he just relinquished that mentality and then started creating, continued the creation, and he created four Vedas from his four mouths. So now a person who is afflicted by lust is now creating four Vedas. Means this momentary and accidental distraction of Brahma did not diminish his glory, did not diminish his power. Yes, it was a mistake. But when great souls perform such mistakes accidentally, not intentionally, that doesn't minimize their glory. It just happens, and that only indicates to us that this material world is a place of distractions, and we need to protect ourselves from distraction. So whenever we hear about mistakes of great souls, we should remember three things. Number one, we should not lose discrimination. Prabhupada writes all this thing in his purports to this chapter. One first thing is, we should not lose discrimination. Means what? Oh, such a great person has done this mistake, so it must be bona fide. I can also do the same mistake. That is not the message that we need to take. We should not lose discrimination. We should see right as right and wrong as wrong. So we should have understanding of what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is wrong, based on standard social etiquettes and Vedic principles and scriptural instructions. So we should not lose discrimination. Second thing is, we should not disrespect that great person who has done that mistake accidentally. Now, just because somebody has done some small mistake accidentally, does it mean that he is totally gone and he should not be respected at all? So we should not discount all the wonderful service that person has done. So we should respect him for all the good that he has and whatever he is. And we should just try to see that mistake as a mistake, but we should not disrespect the person for that mistake. So the third thing is, see the personal lesson to be learned. The personal instruction given through this incident is, if such a great personality like Lord Brahma could be distracted by his own daughter, I could also be distracted. So I need to be very careful in my dealings with the opposite gender. This is the message given through this incident. This incident is not a license for us to offend Brahma or minimize the position of Brahma or criticize Brahma. So Maitreya Muni was also very hesitant to say this, but because he has to give knowledge and instruction to people in general, he has to narrate this incident with hesitation. So Brahmaji later, after getting distracted by Vak, he created four Vedas, then he created Puranas, Itihasas, Karmatantra, four legs of Dharma, different ashramas and their vrittis, the Vedic meters and how to write verses, the audible sounds, and Brahmaji has created so many things for the functioning of this universe. So then at one point Brahmaji contemplated, I have entrusted the responsibility of populating this universe to my 10 sons, and these 10 sons did not sufficiently populate the universe. There is a deficiency in their creation. So what am I supposed to do? So Brahmaji is contemplating. As Brahmaji is contemplating, from his contemplation, a couple manifested. They are Svayambhava Manu and Shatarupa. The first Manu was Svayambhu Manu, and his wife is Shatarupa. This couple manifested. Because both of them came from Brahma, you cannot call them brother and sister. A couple manifested. So their relationship is couple. So that's how Bhagavatam presents. Now in this chapter we see, Brahmaji has created five features of ignorance, and he was dissatisfied. First he was dissatisfied, first D. Second, he created four Kumaras, and the four Kumaras were disobedient to Brahma. They did not listen to the instruction of Brahma. They said, we want to become Brahmacharis. Second obstacle in his service. Third, he created Shiva and told him to create. And the people who are created by Shiva created a big disturbance in Brahma's creation. Disturbance is the third obstacle in his service. And later Brahmaji was distracted by Vak. And Brahmaji saw a deficiency in the creation of 10 sons. So despite all these obstacles, Brahmaji's determination to continue his service to the Lord, continue the creation, continued. So he had 5 obstacles. One is dissatisfaction. Second is disobedience. Then third is disturbance created by Shiva's descendants. And fourth is distraction by Vak. Fifth is deficiency by all these people, by the 10 sages. But still Brahmaji continued to perform the creation. So we need to understand that although there are so many obstacles in our service, we should have determination to continue our seva. So after Shatarupa and Swayambhumanu manifested, Swayambhumanu went in front of Brahmaji and said, "Oh, my dear Brahma, I am very grateful to you. I am ready to offer you all services. You tell me what am I supposed to do." Actually, before even Maitrimuni described this, Vidura became very eager to know from Maitreya. "Oh, Maitreya Muni, what did Swayambhumanu do?" In the 13th chapter beginning, this Vidura asks Maitreya. He says, "Srutasya pumsam suchirashramasya nanvanjasa suribhiriditortha tattad gunanu shravanam mukunda padaravindam hridayeshu yesham." Srutasya pumsam suchirashramasya. Those who are putting a lot of effort and endeavoring a lot to hear from a guru should also endeavor to hear about Vaishnavas. We hear about Krishna, we hear about philosophy from guru, but we should also hear about great souls and pure devotees like Swayambhumanu. So because that will give us right guidance and inspiration to perform our services and overall bhakti yoga. So this Vidura became so eager to hear about Swayambhumanu. Then Maitreyamuni starts describing. So Manu went in front of Brahma and asked, "Oh Lord Brahma, you have created me. You tell me what am I supposed to do? What is my service?" So earlier Brahmaji had 4 sons named the Kumaras. They did not accept the service only. They became Brahmacharis. Later Brahmaji had another child named Shiva. Shiva did the service, but that service is disturbing to Brahma. And later Brahmaji had created 10 sons like Marichi and others. There was deficiency in their service. They could not effectively do the service. Now this fourth party, that is Swayambhumanu, is created. So Brahmaji had a lot of hopes on Swayambhumanu. Swayambhumanu will populate this universe. Then Brahmaji instructed Manu, "Oh my dear Manu, I am very pleased with your qualities. You are very much ready for doing service without any duplicity, without any reservations. And you are very much surrendered to me. And you are very sane. And you are acting with great delight. And you are ready for service. So my instruction to you is, you should beget children who are similar in quality like you. And you should rule the earth religiously. Go to Bhumandala and rule the earth very religiously. And worship the Lord with various sacrifices. That will please me, that will please the Lord. And when the Lord is pleased, when the Supreme Lord Vishnu is pleased, you get all blessings." So Brahmaji instructed Swayambhumanu to procreate and rule this world. Procreate and create progeny and rule this world. Then Swayambhumanu said, "Okay, I will go to earthly planet. I will go to Bhumandala. But I see that there is no Bhumandala there. So the earth is being drowned there. So I accept your order, but can you please retrieve this earth, my residence place?" So then when Swayambhumanu asked like this, Brahmaji was wondering, what happened to earth? So now earth is drowning in this Garbhodaka ocean. So Brahmaji was thinking how to retrieve this earth. So as he was thinking, from his nostril, a small form, like thumb size, a small form just manifested. That is the form of Varahadev. That is like the divine transcendental boar incarnation of the Lord. Varaha Avatara. So Varahadev manifested in the size of a thumb initially from Brahmaji's nose, and eventually he grew so big like an elephant. He became so huge. And this Varahadev when he manifested like that, he flew into the sky, he slashed his tail, and his hairs were quivering, and his glance was luminous, and he scattered the clouds with his hooves and white tusks. He's a wild boar, right? There are some tusks also. So the Lord was transcendental in any form. So when Varahadev entered the Garbhodaka ocean and shook his body, the waters that came out of this boar's body are purifying to the entire universe. Varahadev was so huge that all the oceans in this universe cannot fill even one bodily pore of Varahadev. That's how he was so magnificent and so huge. So this Varahadev dived deep into this Garbhodaka ocean and then retrieved the earth from the depths of this ocean and protected this earth. So this Varaha is called Shveta Varaha, who appeared in Svayambhuva Manvantara. Now this is the beginning of creation. This is the first Manvantara, the reign of Svayambhuva Manu. So Svayambhuva Manu is ruling this Manvantara. And this in Svayambhuva Manvantara, Lord Varaha appeared and he is called Shveta Varaha. But in the sixth Manvantara, there is another Varahadev. There is a second Varaha incarnation that appeared in the sixth Manvantara that is called Neela Varaha or Rakta Varaha. So the first Varaha incarnation, that is Shveta Varaha, who appeared in Svayambhuva Manu, protected the earth. He lifted the earth from the depths of Garbhodaka ocean. But the second Varaha, who is Neela Varaha, he also killed Hiranyaksha. So Maitreya Muni was narrating about this first Manvantara, first Varaha incarnation. He also described the second Varaha also. So he combined the descriptions of the first Varaha, who is Adi Varaha or Shveta Varaha, along with second Varaha, who is Neela Varaha or Rakta Varaha. So two Varahadev incarnations he described together. So in this context, he also described the fight that happened between Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha and Varaha. So Hiranyaksha and Varaha fought with each other. And Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha and protected the earth. So he combined two descriptions. So then the Lord, this Lord Varaha, lifted this earth and held the earth on his tusks. And he was looking like a beautiful elephant that is holding a lotus flower. And the Lord is also appearing like a mountain with clouds. So the Lord could accomplish this task so effortlessly, no one else could do this task. So all the sages and all the devatas appeared in the higher planetary systems and they started glorifying the wonderful activities of Varahadev. And Maitreya Muni concludes this Varaha incarnation description with this Phalashruti. In the 48th shloka of this 13th chapter, he says, Ya eva metam harime dhaso harehe katham subhadram kathaniya mayinaha srinvita bhaktya shravayeta vosatim janardanosya shruhridi prasidati. The Lord becomes very pleased with those who sincerely hear this description of Varaha avatar with great devotion. So like that, this is the Phalashruti. And who can, in the 50th shloka he says, Maitreya Muni says, Ko nama loke purushartha saravit purakathanam bhagavat kathasudham apiya karnan jalibher bhavapaham aho virajyeta vinana retaram. Krishna katha is so nectarian. The descriptions of Krishna and his various incarnations like Varaha, Narasimha, Vamana, Parashurama, Rama, etc. They are so nectarian, and one who hears this will actually attain divine transcendental pleasure. And who other than a non-human would reject an opportunity to hear Krishna Katha? Like that, Maitreya Muni concludes this description of Varaha incarnation. In the 14th chapter, Vidura says, My dear Maitreya, he had a natural question. You said that Varahadev killed Hiranyaksha. Who is this Hiranyaksha? That was his question. So he asked, why there was a fight between Hiranyaksha and Varahadev? So then Maitreya Muni appreciated the question of Vidura and started describing the whole past history of Hiranyaksha, who also had a brother named Hiranyakashipu. So now we are going to a past description of Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. So like that, this is a background for Varahadev's incarnation. So your inquiry is befitting. He says that there is a great sage named Kashyapa, and Kashyapa is son of Brahma. And Kashyapa Muni had so many wives, and one of the wives is Diti. And Diti once approached Kashyapa Muni at a wrong time, because the co-wives of Diti, they had children, but Diti did not have children. So Diti was overwhelmed with a desire to have children immediately. She did not have so much of patience. She approached Kashyapa Muni at a wrong time, at Sandhya time, in the evening time, and pushed him for union. She said that Cupid is torturing me, my dear husband. I am distressed seeing the opulence of my co-wives. They are all enjoying the positions of being mothers of glorious children, but I am still not yet a mother. Please impregnate me. So I want a qualified child to spread your name and fame. So I have chosen you for marriage. So please bestow this benediction upon me. Then Kashyapa told Diti, my dear wife, it is not proper for you to instigate me for union at this time. This is evening time. This is not the right time for procreation. So wife is the cause of perfection of dharma, artha and kama. In that way, I will respect you a lot. But this is not the right time to unite. So wait for the proper time. Because at this time, Lord Shiva is moving along with his ghosts. And when he sees people uniting at this time, he may be displeased. Right? He does not consider anyone as his relative. You may think that Shiva is the husband of your own sister, Sati. But still, Shiva may not discriminate like that. If he sees somebody doing some bad activity, now inappropriate activity at this time, he may be very displeased. Only unintelligent people will neglect him. Even Brahma also follows his orders. So please don't think like this. Like that, Kashyapa in various ways tried to counsel Diti, try to stop her from this union. But Kashyapa only spoke some gentle and soft words to Diti to control her. But Kashyapa himself was not self-controlled. He was not very firm in his decision not to unite with her. So he was, when Diti did not hear the suggestions of Kashyapa and she was pushing him more and more, then Kashyapa gave in. Kashyapa went along with her, and then he united with Diti at such a wrong time. And after the union, Diti became very ashamed of her faulty action. So when the sensual urges are very strong within, one may give in to those sensual urges and then do some unmentionable, objectionable activity. But after doing it, one will be overwhelmed with regret. Oh, why did I do like this? So Diti was regretting, and she came in front of Kashyapa Muni and then spoke with great repentance. She said, let Rudra not destroy my embryo. May he be merciful. He is very merciful towards women. Let him be pleased. Then Kashyapa said, Diti, everything is inauspicious because of your wrong mentality. So Diti became lusty and Diti became envious. And Diti became envious of her co-wives, and she immediately wanted her husband to impregnate her. And Diti was very impatient. Because of that, everything was inauspicious. Kashyapa told her, you have neglected my advice. You are very apathetic to the devatas like Shiva. So everything is inauspicious. So because of your misbehavior, you will get two demoniac sons who will torment the entire universe. And they will even be killed by the Supreme Lord. And Diti became so repentant, and she was so ashamed. She was feeling so guilty for her action. And she felt little comfortable, because her sons would be killed only by the Supreme Lord and not by the anger of Brahmanas. Because the wrath of Brahmanas is more powerful than even the wrath of the Supreme Lord. Because the Lord may tolerate some insults that are done to him, but the Lord will not tolerate any insult done to his devotees or the Brahmanas. He is Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmani Hitaya Cha. But Diti was genuinely repentant. Then Kashyapu Muni said, so Diti, because of your misbehavior, you will get two demoniac sons. But because you genuinely repented for your bad activity, you will get a wonderful grandson who is endowed with all good qualities. Who is that? Prahlad Maharaj. So Diti will get two demoniac sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu's son would be Prahlad. Means the grandson of Diti would be a wonderful devotee, Mahabhagavata, Prahlad Maharaj. Everybody knows his glories, and his stories are described in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam very elaborately. So he will be a great devotee. He will be endowed with all divine qualities. He will always worship the Lord and see the Lord internally and externally. And hearing this description, Diti was very much satisfied. So we can understand that although Kashyapu Muni was a great Prajapati and Diti was the wife of Prajapati and she was the daughter of great Prajapati named Daksha, but still she also performed this mistake. At an inappropriate time, she united with her husband and she was like pushing him so much. So, mistakes are common even in such elevated circles also. But the more elevated a person is, the more is that person's responsibility towards one's own self and towards the society also. Ajamil also became lusty. He saw a prostitute associating with a Shudra in public, openly, and Ajamil became very lusty and then started living with that prostitute. So because of his association with this prostitute, he ruined his own life. Ajamil was a simple Brahmana and his mistake ruined his own life and maybe his immediate family members. But Diti was in a very exalted and responsible position. She was the daughter of a Prajapati, she was the wife of a Prajapati, and her mistake tormented the entire universe. So to the degree one is in a higher and responsible position, to that degree that person's mistakes will cause destruction in this universe. So Ajamil's mistake caused some havoc in his own life and his immediate family members. But Diti's mistake caused havoc in the entire universe that gave rise to contemptuous sons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, who tormented the entire universe. So the more the higher is our position, the greater is our responsibility in our behavior and in our thoughts and other things. So this concludes the description of Diti and Kashyapu Muni. Today we have discussed 5 chapters, the 10 divisions of creation in the 10th chapter, the calculations of time in the 11th chapter, and the creation of Brahma in the 12th chapter. And Swayambhumanu and Varahadev, Swayambhumanu's creation in the 13th chapter, and Varahadev's pastimes in that context. And as a previous narration, as a background history, so we are also beginning another episode of Diti now. And tomorrow we will continue what happened to the pregnancy of Diti and how it has affected the whole universe. All this we will discuss in the tomorrow's class. Thank you all very much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya, Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.